You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Submissions are currently open for the Conservation Amendment Bill, which would see up to 60% of current conservation land become open for sale, as long as it's not considered important for threatened species. Additionally, the bill adds a new responsibility to the Department of Conservation to recognise and enable economic opportunities as much as possible from the land and resources it manages. The bill has faced a large public pushback, with a recent poll finding that 64% of New Zealanders oppose it, including the majority of the current government coalition's regular voters. With submissions closing on the 2nd of July, I spoke to University of Auckland Professor of Conservation Biology James Russell about the bill and its contentious proposals. This new Conservation Amendment Bill proposes to make a large amount of conservation land easier to sell and pushes more kind of a economic opportunistic goal onto the Department of Conservation. What impacts could these two changes have on conservation in New Zealand?
I think that's the key point here. The bill's trying to wrap up a whole bunch of things into one, and that is both the economic enabling conditions on conservation land as well as, where appropriate, the exchange or disposal of conservation land. And so I think a really interesting starting point is going back to when the Department of Conservation was formed in 1987, and that was a big times in New Zealand government, and the merger there was bringing together a bunch of agencies' duties under one umbrella organisation, being the Department of Conservation. So in particular, you saw the Forest Service, the New Zealand Forest Service, the Department of Lands and Survey, and the New Zealand Wildlife Service come together. And so with that, their land came together and they all got put under the Department of Conservation. And I think that was a really good thing for New Zealand to do back then, because our Department of Conservation is hands down the envy of the world. We hosted a conference on island invasive species in February this year, and people around the world were just going, New Zealand, how do you do it? How do you have a single Department of Conservation looking after 33% of your land and doing it so well? And that's where we see the real power of the Department of Conservation, that they just have all of this land that they can manage in totality across New Zealand for the benefits of conservation. But that doesn't mean we don't get some challenges. So, for example, even though the Department of Conservation is responsible for 33% of New Zealand's land, the Department of Conservation budget is routinely less than 2% of the actual national government budget. So you can see that first mismatch there, that we've got a lot of conservation land, but due to the challenges of government and having to manage, you know, across health and education and law and order, you have to prioritise where the money goes. So we've got a lot of great conservation land and a lot of great conservation opportunity and a lot of great conservation need across that conservation estate, but not enough money to do it. So I can see that at a high level there's this good intent that we need to find ways to better match things up, but then the challenge lands in how this bill might be able to do that.
You mentioned there that, you know, our Department of Conservation is the envy of the world. I think quite a lot of New Zealanders, this is kind of touches on those environmental values that we hold pretty ourselves proud of. Do you think they've handled this properly and with the amount of care that New Zealanders would like to see with it?
I think that's really one of the key points here, which is that New Zealanders, one of the other great benefits of being a New Zealander is you're always pretty close to conservation and you can see what nature used to look like. And I don't think any of us want to be in a position where we do have these great national parks, but at the bottom of the South Island, and if you're an Aucklander that wants to go to visit the Dock National Park, you have to go all the way to the bottom of the South Island. South Island. So I think New Zealanders really support having this huge conservation network across the country and want to see it maintained and don't want to see that land area diminished. So I think probably in terms of handling this, there's been the conflict that's emerged as the New Zealand government has created this bill, and they're trying to just wrap up too many things in it at once, and as this government has tended to do, move it through too fast as an enabling legislation agenda. And so that's created these problems where Forest and Bird has pointed out, hey, although you say you only want to get rid of the Met Service land in Wellington or the gravel pit down on the west coast, you've actually devised this bill in such a way that over half of our conservation land could be exchanged or disposed of. And the government's come back and said, well, we don't intend to do that. We're just planning to set up this economic enabling legislation, which in itself is a particular challenge for how we might interpret that. But you end up in that dilemma. It's like, well, if this isn't what the law is intended to do, it's what the law could allow you to do, and we don't want to be at the vicissitudes of a future government or even this government then changing their mind once the enabling agenda is in place.
Especially when, you know, once you've sold this conservation land off, it's going to be quite difficult to protect it, maybe potentially get it back. So with that permanence that it might be able to allow, is that something that should be really carefully considered?
Exactly. I think conservation land, we kind of see it as undeveloped land, and so it can be sold off for a very low value. And we saw that challenge with the High Country Tenure Review process, where conservation land was sold off for a much lower value than what it could then be used for. And so at two levels, when we sell off the land and it gets developed or changed, it's much more expensive to restore it back. But even if we sell off that land but then change our mind and want to buy it back, we just end up locked in this challenge where it's just so expensive to buy it back. And once again, when your national budget is only less than 2% of the government's annual budget, then you just don't have the funding to do that. There's been some great occurrences in New Zealand's past where crowds have got together and crowdfunded to buy more land to add to the conservation estate, but that's more the exception rather than the rule. And I think that's what we need to keep our eye on here, that it's exceptions rather than the rule. The Met Service land and the gravel pit are exceptions to the rule, and they're outliers, and it would make sense to be able to dispose of them or trade them off for better conservation land, but that certainly shouldn't extend to our over half of our conservation estate.
Now, the bill does say that land which is essential to threatened species won't be sold off. Are you happy with the amount of protections for our native flora, fauna and kind of general ecosystem?
The Wildlife Act itself is quite a dated piece of legislation, and so there's some additional need that we could see here to reform that legislation, which hasn't been done in the revisions proposed here. We need better regulatory enforcement, and we also have a lot of threats to our conservation land which we need to work towards. So I think the other thing we have to be aware of in the development of this bill is the way that very particular wording can lead to very different outcomes. Mm-hmm. So things such as enable economic development where it is most practical, or protect threatened species where it is important, really comes down to people's different interpretations of evidence of what is economically practical at a site and what a threatened species level of investment should be. So, for example, I might think that putting in a new dock hut is a good economic development on dockland that enables recreational opportunities. But someone else might very well think putting in a 5-story hotel is an appropriate recreational development. And that just comes down to our different views of what a practical economic development is. And likewise, when it comes down to protecting threatened species, some people might think, well, if there's a kākāpō or a takahē there, it should absolutely be protected. Whereas I might say, well, if there's a mohua or a piwaka waka going through there, then that's also a threatened species that would warrant some form of protection. So it's really that's the thing we need to get right when creating the new legislation, that it doesn't create these slippery slopes where, which is exactly what Forest and Bird have identified, that although the minister has identified a very small form of exchange and disposal that might occur, the legislation's created this very slippery slope where a lot more could happen than probably most New Zealanders would be comfortable with.
And submissions for the bill are open currently. Do you think if the right changes were made to it, it's still salvageable, or should it be right back to the drawing board?
I think good legislation takes years to put together and really has to be done through a cross-party purpose. That's more and more clear. I was just discussing this with a colleague in the corridor today, that if we keep flip-flopping and becoming more polarised with our agendas between each government, we're not going to create legislation that can last for 100 or 1,000 years to protect the land, which is the scale that the land works on. So I think we do need to look at enabling opportunities for where there are sensible trades to be made. The Department of Conservation probably doesn't need to be owning Met Service land or gravel pits, but at the same time, we want to make sure that doesn't trip us up with the opportunity for some other government's agenda to then change how the land is disposed of. So I think the bill could be salvageable, and it's well known that we need to do this reform in the conservation legislation space, but I think we're running out of time to do it for this government, but that means that there's an opportunity here for all the parties coming up to the election to have a debate about it. The Environmental Defence Society is having its conference this week in Auckland, and that's going to be a great opportunity to discuss the state of conservation legislation and reform in New Zealand. So I'm excited that we can work forward. And I think New Zealanders continue to be proud of their conservation estate and the work we do, and why tourists and scientists and others come to New Zealand to study and see this. All parties in the government are proud of it. We're just just looking at the different ways we can maximise it. And I come back to that key point that with less than 2% of government funding, we do need to be strategic and affordable about how we do our conservation, but it also needs to be sensible and publicly mandated.
That was University of Auckland Professor James Russell speaking to me about the Conservation Amendment Bill.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.